We are in Engage, in the portion of Engage. I understand that from time to time it, you know, you get weary in well-doing. But understand the reason and the premise behind this whole endeavor. It's to solidify our faith, to know what we know and why we know what we know and why we do what we do. It's for that reason and the purpose. So when we are asked out in public or at the job or at McDonald's why we do what we do and we dress the way we dress, we can, you know, give a testimony and share, not because my pastor preaches it, not because they make me do it, but because it's something we do unto the Lord. It's something that we give of ourselves. We can sin all we want, we choose not to. We choose not to. Starting where we left off in page 11, unwrapping my spiritual gifts. Unwrapping my spiritual gifts. It starts with, we will give you a simple overview of spiritual gifts and help you identify which ones you may have and been given by God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, now about spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. God wants you to know why you have the skills and abilities that you do. There is a purpose behind it. There is a reason behind it. Now, spiritual gifts are distinctive abilities given to each believer when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to be used to minister to others, therefore build up the body of Christ. Some of these gifts are supernatural, operated only under the influence of God's Spirit, while others are natural abilities enhanced by God's Spirit. All are important to the body of Christ. All are important to the body of Christ. As many of you may know, Buddy is missing a portion of his finger. And from time to time, he forgets that it's not there. And he'll try to use it, and it's not there. And in those moments, he misses that portion of his finger. And the thing is that we are all part of the body of Christ. When somebody decides no longer to be part of the church, we miss that person. When you don't show up to church, we miss you. You know, one of the things that I do miss is Grandma Bryant calling me, and I am not exempt from her calling me when I wasn't at church. In fact, Pastor was not exempt of her calling him when he was not at church. And the thing is that you are missed. When you're not here, you are missed, because part of the body is not here. Part of the body is not here, and we all need each other. And the other thing that I noticed here is that when do we receive those gifts? We receive those gifts when we receive the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but when I received the Holy Ghost, I did not know every nuance there was to know when I got the Holy Ghost. I was excited that I got it. I was thrilled that I got it. I was, you know, super excited. But did I know everything that went along with it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And as I grow and mature in the Holy Ghost, I learned a lot of these things of what actually took place. Now, eight truths about spiritual gifts. Number one, only believers have spiritual gifts. Only believers. That's spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Jesus-name baptized believers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritual discerned. They're spiritual. I'm sure the church looks at what the church does from... I'm sure that the world looks at what the church does sometime and says, you know, they're silly, they're dumb, they're whatever. But the thing is that you're applying a carnal mindset. You know, you talk to a CPA and say, you know, I'm having trouble paying my bills. And you're like, well, you could cut off your ties. He's like, cut off my ties and cut off my neck, because then I won't have enough to get what I need to get done. And it's just something about when you are faithful with your tithes that God blesses the rest of it. Amen. They don't understand that. And it might seem foolishness, but to God it's a commandment. So number two, every Christian has at least one gift. One gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7, "For I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, that one after this manner, and another after that." Everyone has a gift. Everyone has a gift. At least one. At least one. Some of these other guys that have, you know, crazy gifts, they can, you know, play the piano and play the drums and the bass and sing and preach, and you just want to choke them. Hit them with a stick or throw a rock and hit a beehive or something. No, I'm just kidding. But we all have one. We all have a gift. And it's not the same gift. It says in number three, no one receives all the gifts. Now understand that the person that I'm talking about doesn't have all the gifts. He just has a few of them. But needless to say, they don't have all the gifts. Why? Because we all need each other. We all need each other. Now in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 30, it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, the members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the fits of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?" No. No. Now, can some of these be in a few of them in one person? Yes. But do they have all of them? No. And the thing is that, you know, we are all made in God's image. But we all don't look alike. I don't look like Brother Merchant, and Brother Merchant doesn't look like me. Brother Folk, Robbie, he's a lot more handsome than I am. Brother Metheny, we all are men, but at the same time, we're all different. Same with the Holy Ghost. God gives us gifts and abilities. But with our experience in life and the Holy Ghost that moves through us, develops those gifts. And they're all different. Number four, it says no single gift is given to everyone. We all don't have the same gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 29 and 30, "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole was a hearing, where is the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body? Where were the body?" And see, that's right there in that scripture. It says, as it hath pleased him. As it pleases God. That's where you're at. That's where I'm at. That's where I can do, is where it pleases God. Right where you're at is, and working in your gifts is where it pleases God. I don't know about you, but I want to please God. Amen. I want to please God. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you know, some of us want to hear one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to strive to hear every day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Someday is one thing, but every day, that's what I strive for. That's what I want to accomplish, is be told by God, well done, thou good and faithful servant, today. Because I want to please him. I want to please God. Number five says the Holy Spirit decides what gift I get. It's a good thing that he decides, because some of us would pick different things for other people or pick different things for ourselves. You know, I don't know. I have children, and many of you do. If they got to pick what they had for supper, we'd have hot dogs most days. We'd have cheeseburgers and McDonald's every day. So my daughter loves McDonald's, and the first thing she says is, I ask the question, hey, what do you guys want for supper? And lo and behold, McDonald's gets thrown in there every single time. Every single time. But see, the Holy Ghost decides, because the Holy Ghost knows what will benefit the body and what will benefit us. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, but all these things work that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. We want to be in the will of God. We want to be in his will. And that's why we have to exercise those gifts that God has given us. Number six, the gifts I've given are permanent. Can you say permanent? Permanent. Permanent. Romans 11:25, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Are without repentance. Are without repentance. Just because we mess up does not remove God's gifts. Just because we fail him, he doesn't remove those gifts. He doesn't remove those callings. Those callings are still there. They're still there. They're still there. Doesn't matter what kind of shenanigans we pull, those callings are still there. Number seven, I am to develop the gifts God gives me. Who develops them? We do. We develop those gifts. 1 Peter 4 and 10. Each of you had been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. What's your gift for? To serve others. To serve others. They're for the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body. The helping, the blessing, the touching of the body. That's what they're for. And we are to develop them. To make you and I better. Number eight. And this is a hard one. The reason I say it's hard is because sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations, and due to our personalities, we think that we don't use our gifts. Is it a sin to waste the gift God has gave me? Is it a sin to waste the gifts that God has given me? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2, it says, let a man be account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Found faithful. When I come before God, I want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful of God with the gifts that he has given me. I'm sure you've read in Sunday school or in your life the story of the talents. And it says that the one that buried his talent because he knew that the owner was a tough, hard man. He didn't want to lose the one talent that he had received. It says that he was cast into outer darkness. Outer darkness. And it seems harsh, but it's doing something with what God has given you. Some of us have talents that we've hidden away, stored away, that we think are small or insignificant or unimportant. And the thing is those talents are the very thing that God has given us to be instruments to reach people, to serve people, to help people, to bring Jesus to people. And it's not yours to decide how insignificant it is. It's not ours. It's given to us by God. It belongs to Him. So we need to use those gifts to serve others and to serve God. Number one, well, here at the bottom of page 12, it says the purpose of spiritual gifts. Number one, it says not for my benefit, but for others. 1 Peter 4 and 10, each one of you as a good manager of God's different gifts must use for the good of others the spiritual gifts he hath received from God. The gift is from God for the body. For the body. Number two on the top page of page 13, it says, to produce maturity and stability in our church family. Maturity and stability in our church family. Ephesians chapter 4, 11, 13 through 14, it says, and it's paraphrased, it says, it was he who gave gifts to men to build up the body of Christ, so we shall all come together to that oneness in our faith and become mature. Then we shall no longer be children carried by the waves and blown about by every shifting wind. The reason we do this, and it might become tedious, is because we need to be mature and stable. Mature and stable. That we don't hear somebody say, you know, there is a Christ or there is another Jesus or there is another faith and there's all these other things. Bible says towards the end, when Jesus is coming, they're going to be a great falling away. And we need to be mature and stable, not to listen to those false prophets. We need to be mature and stable. This time, Brother Terry's going to come and share his portion. So let's get behind him. Before I hand it over to him, do anybody have any questions? Any questions? Did I miss anything? Do you have any extra blanks? Nobody? Brother Merchant, you don't have a question? Not one? Are you sure? Okay. Brother Terry's coming.
Are you sure, Brother Merchant? Because it looks like you might like have a little blood from biting your lip or something. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with you, Brother Merchant. No. Hey, this is teaching and this is for you. This is for the church. So if you have questions, if you have any doubts or you need clarification, ask the question. This is for you. This is for us. This is for the growth of the body of Christ. This is for the growth of the church and you as individuals, right? So tonight I'm going to talk about the cautions about spiritual gifts, okay? And one thing I do want to do is if you'll go to your handout back to point number four, it says no single gift is given to everyone. I want to make a slight correction. The verse that is cited there is actually 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 17 and 18. Amen. All right, so just that way, if you're looking at your Bible at home and go, that doesn't jive, go back up in the chapter and look at verses 17 and 18, and it should jive. All right. But I'm thankful that even though our handout may be incorrect, that the Bible is correct. Amen. It is the Word of God. It is without error. It's without discrepancy. It's without contradiction. Amen. So let's go ahead and dive in here on page 13. It says, cautions about spiritual gifts. Number one, it says, don't confuse gifts with natural talents. Okay? Don't confuse the gifts of God with your natural talents. Now, Mr. Webster says that your natural talents are your God-given abilities and skills. Okay? But going beyond that, guess what? Even those that have natural ability or natural skills, like some people can play multiple instruments, right? But some people start off by playing one instrument, and over time and over practice, they're able to develop themselves in other skills or other talents, like playing the piano and playing the organ and playing the guitar. Don't confuse your gifts, your spiritual gifts, with your natural talents. Number two, it says, don't confuse the gifts with the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? Now we read here in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These nine fruits, or as the Bible says, it's singular, there's only one fruit, and from love, I believe the other eight proceed out of that. Amen. That the singular fruit of the Spirit is love, because what? The Holy Spirit, who is God, God is love. And from that, these other eight fruits, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance flow out of love. And Paul writes, against such there is no law. Now, as the gifts of the Spirit, I want to talk about this just for a second. As the gifts of the Spirit are not for ourselves, neither are the fruits of the Spirit. Now, I want you to imagine yourself, because the Bible says that we should be like trees planted by the water, right? Where our roots go down deep, and they sink deep into the Word of God. They sink deep in a relationship with God, right? And they're being fed from the roots and coming up through the tree. And as the tree is nourished by that water through the root system that goes deep and is planted and harden, then the fruits develop out of that. Now, have you ever seen a fruit tree eat its own fruit? And if you and I are trees, symbolically, then who's the fruit for? It's for other people. The fruits are not for ourselves, just as if the gifts of God are not for ourselves, the fruits of the Spirit are not for ourselves, but they are for others to come along and enjoy, for others to come along and partake of. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit are attributes of the believer and are developed through the power of the Holy Ghost. And if a person desires to enlarge his or her fruit, they must seek opportunity to exercise the fruits through the help of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now think about this. How are you going to develop more love? You're going to have to learn how to love more. How are you going to develop joy? But you're going to have to develop a relationship that no matter what comes against you, my happiness may be situational, but my joy is dependent upon my relationship with God. It never wavers because I have a relationship with God, and so my joy. And, you know, I think I've told you this before. I used to, and one of them is patience, right? I used to say, Lord, can you give me more patience? Can you give me more patience? And boy, as a young Christian, I was a fool to pray like that. You know why? Because God gave me situation, after trial, to exercise patience. He just doesn't say, oh, Brother Matheny, you want more patience? Well, I've got a bucket full of it here. Let me deliver it to your house and there you go. No.
What to develop your fruit of the Spirit, God is going to give you situations and opportunities in which to exercise these attributes so that you might develop your fruits of the Spirit. All right. The bullet point with inside number two says, the fruit shows my maturity. Maturity. Robbie, my maturity. Robbie was having a deep voice gift earlier today, so I just want to see if I could get that down there. Maturity means to show my maturity shows my experience. It shows my development as a Christian believer, right? So what do I need to do to mature? I need to have these experiences. I need to go through these situations. I need to go through these trials and tribulations and these things. And I got to get into the Word of God. I've got to dig in there. I've got to let my root system go deep. Why? So the fruit can develop. So that when the situation, I can stand through there. And then I can come back and give a good testimony that even though this happened, even though that happened, God was faithful, God got me through it, and He deserves the praise. Amen. So the gifts show, or the fruits show my maturity. Okay? The next bullet point, the second bullet point, it says, gifts show my ministry. And one of the things that we've talked about is ministry. Ministry simply means to serve. And each and every one of us has a ministry. And the gifts of the Spirit help us show our ministry. The gifts help me serve in the body of Christ. Right? The gifts help me serve in the body of Christ. Now, number three, we get to number three, and it says, be aware of the gift projection tendency. Gift projection. Do you know what projection is? It's that when you place something or when you launch something out as if it was your own. And here's what it says in the bullet point about gift projection. It says, this erroneous belief that others should be expected to serve the same way you do and even have similar results. All spiritual gifts come from God. Let Him look after the results. And Him is capitalized talking about God. Hey, you mind your own gift. Amen. You know, my gift is not an evangelist, and so I should not be expected to teach or to preach like Brother Mike Easter. Amen. I shouldn't. I do not have the gift of evangelism. I do not have that, nor do I claim to have that. And so I shouldn't be expected. Brother Easter shouldn't say every minister that gets behind a pulpit ought to have the swagger that I do, the talk like I do, the good looks like he does. Those are his gifts. That's the way he ministers. But that's not the way that God has given me my gift and the way that I minister. And God will look after me and my results. Okay? I want to give you a kind of a story, and I've seen this in churches before, that projection, right? Someone comes into the church, brand new baby believer in God, and all of a sudden they get bit by the Holy Ghost, they get hungry for the Word of God, they got convicted that this is the best thing since sliced bread, and they get on fire. And they dive into the Word of God, and they begin to study, and they begin to ask questions, and then they begin to study more, and then they begin to develop, and the next thing you know, their life is changed. They don't hang out with the same people. They don't talk the way they used to, and they keep going farther and farther, and all of a sudden, they're surpassing people that have been in church for 10 years. They're surpassing people with spiritual maturity that have been there for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. And here's what happens, some of that projection, right? Guess what? You've only been in church for 5 years. You need to take a back seat. You need to slow down. Because that's not the way we do it around here.
It happens. People become jealous because other people mature in their gifts, their callings, and the spiritual gifts that God has given them. Amen. We should encourage that. You know, one of the first things that when I came to this church a little over 4 years ago, one of the first things that I noticed that there were that, and this is how I know that this was a healthy church, was that there were people in all levels of spiritual maturity. You know what? I seen Sister Bryant. And I saw her, and she was a rock. She was a pillar. She knew her stuff inside and out. And yet there were some babies in here that had just gotten baptized, had just gotten the Holy Ghost. And there were people in every level of spiritual growth between Sister Bryant and the brand new baptized believer. And you know what? That also, not only did I have relationships with some of the people in here, but it also said to me that this is a healthy, growing church because everybody is growing at the rate that God has endowed them or at the rate that they will allow God to grow them. Number four says, do not feel that my gift makes me superior to others. Just because I may have the power or the gift of teaching does not mean that my gift is more important than your gift. Sister Barb, I believe that you have a gift of helps, right? Because what? What you didn't know, last year Sister Barb came in here almost every day, if not every day, at 6 a.m. and was watering the flowers, making sure they grow. She's helping. First Friday, she's helping. She's got a gift. It's helps. That's in the Bible. We'll get to it. But does her gift make her superior over me, or does my gifting make me superior over her? No. Because why? We have all been planted in the body of Christ, into the church, as God has seen fit to organize us. In verse 21 of that 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet say, I have no need of you. I need you to get through this life as much as you need me. We are a body, and it says there in verse 18, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. As it pleased him. And so I need you, and you need me, and together we'll get through this. Turning over to the next page, and point number five. It says, realize that using my gifts without love is worthless. It's absolutely worthless. Look at what Paul says there in the beginning of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I want to read all three verses, and it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity or love, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am as nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. I'm nothing without love. I'm bankrupt without love. Doesn't matter how well I can teach. Doesn't matter how well I can preach. It doesn't matter how well I can clean the church. It doesn't matter how well I can do anything. If I do anything without love, it doesn't profit me anything. I'm nothing. Nothing without the love of God. So three ways that God wants to use your spiritual gifts. Number one says, through an ongoing ministry. Hey, there are plenty of things to do around here. If you don't believe me, ask Brother Buddy. If you don't believe me, ask Brother Iggy. If you don't believe me, ask the pastor. There are plenty of things to get involved with. There are plenty of ways to serve. And you know, all you have to do is say, here I am, Lord. I'll go. There are ways that God wants to use your gifts through, number two, through short-term projects. Amen. There are short-term projects that happen. You know, we're going to do a vacation Bible school. That's a short-term project. You have gifts? Volunteer to help out in VBS. We got an evangelist coming in. Guess what? It's a short-term project. He's going to be here 3, 4, 5 days. That's a short-term project. Hey, use me. We also have projects within the church. You know, we drywalled and gifts of helps. Hey, use me. We had church cleanup day. Hey, use me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Remember, you're not doing it unto people. You're doing it unto God. Through spontaneous situations, use your gift. Something pops up. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Here I am. Somebody needs a ride to the hospital, and guess what? It's on a Saturday afternoon, and you don't have anything better to do. Hey, brother, buddy, my car broke down, brother. I need a ride to the hospital. Can you help me out? What time you need me to pick you up? Use your gifts. Use your abilities. Use your helps. Amen. It says we get our 5 senses at birth, right? But we learn how to use them as we mature. This is also how spiritual gifts work. And I wrote here in the side of my notes, it says, we must exercise our spiritual gifts. We must exercise our spiritual gifts. Josiah, put up before me 1 Timothy 4 and 8. Some of you might know this off the top of your head, but 1 Timothy 4 and 8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. In other words, good body exercise is good for you, but it doesn't profit you as much as godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. Go to the gym. Work out, you know. Keep yourself physically fit. There's nothing wrong with that. But while you're doing that, make sure that you're feeding your mind. Make sure you're feeding your spirit. Make sure that you're feeding your soul with the things of God, because godliness is profitable unto all things that you do. Anybody go to the, what's that place over there, Sister Merchant? The Y? Do you ever get to do any testimony or any witnessing over there? You did today. She's exercising her body, but more importantly, she was exercising her testimony, her witness. Amen. All right. A short list of spiritual gifts. The Bible does not lock us into tight restrictions as to the number of spiritual gifts or even to their definitions. The major listing of gifts given to the church are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And I'll just read through that real quick here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles at one time. You were foreigners. You're without the promises of God, carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So what he's saying, Paul's saying, is that there are many different gifts within God, but that it is the same Holy Ghost that deals them out. And so there are differences. Verse 5 is, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, what he's saying there, that when you exercise the manifestation of your spiritual gift, the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to every man, is given to you to profit everybody withal. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by that same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit. In other words, it comes all from the Holy Ghost. It all comes from God. Whatever one of these spiritual gifts are, they all come from the selfsame Holy Ghost, dividing to every man severally as he will, as God wills. Staying in there in that 12th chapter, let's drop down to verse 27. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ and the members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healing? Do they all speak with tongues? Do they all interpret?" No. They're given as God directs them. Paul says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And that's when we get to the 13th chapter, and it's the chapter of love. That is the best way. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the attribute of God's Spirit. It is God is love. And if God liveth within us, the Holy Spirit of love should be the more excellent way. Staying in 1 Corinthians, back up to chapter 7, and in verses 7 through 9. There in 7, beginning in verse 7. "For I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to them to burn." Gifts. Desire the gifts. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And this is speaking the ministry of gifts of Christ to his body. Verse 11 says, and we also call this the fivefold ministry. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." For what? Why were these gifts given? Not for the individuals, but they were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, to work in serving, and for the edifying, the glorifying, the lifting up of the body of Christ, which is his church. Romans 12, 3 through 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Don't let pride grow in. That goes back to the one point, right? These gifts are not given for you. They're not given for you. They're given to you to serve. So don't let your pride creep in. "But to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body," he's talking about the church, and he's making a parallel between the body that we have, right? "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Again, I need you and you need me. We're woven together in this body we call the church. "Having then gifts," talking about spiritual gifts, "differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy," if you have the ability to prophesize, and I'm talking about speaking a word from God, Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, service. Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or that exhorteth on exhortation. And he that giveth, we're talking about giving not only of funds, but that could be what we're talking about here. Let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth, governments and leadership, with diligence, that he, or he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. That's verse 8. Okay. And then 1 Peter, hit towards the back of the book. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. I'm actually going to back up to verse 8 because I like what verse 8 says. And above all things, have fervent charity, have fervent love among yourselves. For charity, for love shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Finishing up here on the 14th page, it says, however, there are many other passages that mention or illustrate gifts not included in these lists. The important thing to remember is that all spiritual gifts are given to help the church fulfill its mission. Amen. If you don't know what your gift is, I'm going to tell you the same thing that I told you 2 weeks ago. Start loving people. Just start loving people. If you can learn to love people and meet their needs, a hug, a smile, a handshake, a pat on the back, learn to love. Amen. Because that's the fruit of the Spirit, love. Amen. As we close things up tonight, any questions or comments? Brother Merchant.
I have a comment. As we know, all of this comes from God.
Amen. All the gifts come from God.
However, I'll go back to a verse that you read, but didn't elaborate on, and that is in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, the last verse prior to 13. When we look at that, and we see here that these gifts, although they're given from God, will be given to us if we were to earnestly covet them.
Yeah. We're talking about verse 31, right? 12:31. Can you put that up on the board, please?
It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And I think that's very interesting because this is the only place in this whole entire subject matter where he talks about the best gifts is the only place.
Amen.
So what are the best gifts that we should cover? Well, in my opinion, the gifts that are the best are the ones that are going to be needed in a given assembly. For instance, we are the body of Christ. We are being given individual gifts for the betterment of the whole body of Christ. If we see that it's not that there's a specific gift that we could utilize that would be beneficial to the body of Christ that we have an effect on, we're not talking about the whole spectrum of Christianity. We're talking about the people we have an effect on. Then the best gifts, in my opinion, and this is only my opinion, are those that are going to be needed for that given assembly. For instance, if somebody's missing in the assembly,
right,
then we can ask God, because it says cut earnestly.
Or cut, yeah.
Okay, so we have the option of recognizing that there might be a need in an assembly, and if we can fill that need, then the church is more helpful.
True.
And so then So God here, what he's telling us here is that these gifts truly are given from God. And they're not given just indiscriminately. He's got a plan. But if something is lacking, it appears to me, then it's God's will that that assembly have that gift. So therefore, that would be the best gift for that assembly. Because he's not talking about what's best for you.
Right.
He's talking about what's best for the church.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And so if we need somebody who has a particular, that these gifts are mentioned, that is lacking in our assemblies, then there's nothing wrong with asking God to grant you or somebody, but you know, you're praying for yourself here, that particular gift so that your church can be more complete, more healthy, more whole. And I think we're
true.
Because it's not just like, well, you know, you might come to church and this church has got that gift and that one and this one and that one. And, you know, every church should have to be complete in itself.
I completely agree. So there are 9 spiritual gifts. Correct. So the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretations of tongues. Those are the 9 spiritual gifts. There are churches that are operating in a limited amount. And earnestly, I think every church, again, this is my opinion, and I will gladly be corrected if wrong, but I am of the opinion that a healthy church operates not only in a few, but in all the spiritual gifts. And therefore, if we are lacking in any of the spiritual gifts, and I think this is a summation of what you're saying, is that it is the church's responsibility to covet the missing gifts of the 9 spiritual gifts in that passage. Because to be complete, the church body should be operating in all 9 of the spiritual gifts. Okay. Thank you.
And something else I wanted to mention just very briefly, and I could be wrong here, because I'm not a scholar, but I don't think there's any place where the word calling is plural are used in the New Testament. I might be wrong, but I don't think so. We have one calling, but many gifts. Okay, we have been called to be Christians. We've been called to repentance. We've been called to be saved. That's our calling. And all these other offices that are mentioned here are not callings per se, although we use the term pretty loosely. But according to Scripture that I know, every office that is filled within the church is a gift and not a calling. But we have one calling, and our calling is we're going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we want to do.
Amen.
But how are we going to get there? Well, through the body, we're going to do it through the gifts of the Spirit that are given to us so that collectively we can be strong enough to make it to that day.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Right. Any other questions, comments?
I have one comment.
All right, Sister Merchant.
Something that I saw one day, I think I saw this when I was reading, is that the reason I think people cannot have the same gifts is because they are given according to the measure of faith.
Measure of faith.
Mm-hmm. And so I might not have as much faith as somebody else might have. And so I can't function in that way.
And that's true. And I believe that. And I also believe that, going back to verse 18 of that 12th chapter there in 1 Corinthians, where he says, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And so God knows your abilities, right? Your ability and your faith. And he knows where his body is lacking. And I believe that he'll place those individuals into that church based on their faith, their ability to, their knowledge of faith, and their ability to exercise his gift.
And he'll bring people into the church.
Absolutely.
It's not even part of your church. To fill that lacking. I've seen it. I've been here for 50 years, and I know for a fact that's what happens.
Thank you, Sister Marcia. Anyone else? Going once? Going twice? Amen. The spiritual gifts, whatever they, the 9 spiritual gifts that we talk about there in 1 Corinthians, the other gifts, the other peripheral gifts, helps, governments, leaderships, and all those are vital for the operation of the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. And if you, again, I'll say this until the cows come home. If you don't know what your gift is, pray about it and just love and love on people until God gives you a revelation of your gift. Amen.